Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 270 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Their integrity guides their focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. They pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Their network of resources allows them to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, I know it's August, but we're going to talk a lot of soccer today because the fall high school sports season won't officially get underway until next week. We're going to be talking to Tate Duax here in a little bit, but right now we're going to start off with Tate's dad, Brian, who's the head coach of the Ankeny Centennial boys soccer team. His team posted a 5-12 record last spring, but we're mainly going to be talking about the Tate soccer journey today. So here he is, Brian Duax. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me again.
Hey, you bet. Well, before we dive into Tate's situation, I know you've had a busy summer. You told me that you dropped off your other son, Ty, at Western Illinois earlier this week to begin his collegiate soccer career. Ty was a four-year starter at Centennial. He amassed 43 goals and 43 assists in his career, which are both school records. And he was a three-time All-Stater, which is a rare accomplishment that you also achieved while playing in Valley back in the 90s. You know, I'm sure Ty is pretty excited to get, you know, take his game to the next level. Do you feel like Western is a pretty good fit for him?
I really do. I think Western is a workman-like mentality for the most part of their team. A few times I watched them last year, they lacked a little bit of creativity and some of that great soccer IQ that I think Ty can bring to the table for them. And try and take them to the next level. You know, they're going to a new conference, the Ohio Valley Conference, this year. They have 13 new players this year. Actually, 16, 13 freshmen coming in, plus three transfers. So it's a pretty new roster for him. After day one, he did pretty well. So we'll see
good.
What the future holds for him.
Well, I was doing some research earlier this week on women's soccer because I'm planning to go to the Iowa State versus Minnesota exhibition game tonight in Ames. And I did notice that both Iowa State and Minnesota do not field men's soccer programs. And I guess because of Title IX, this is not an unusual occurrence. You know, do you happen to know how many Division I schools have men's programs?
I don't know exactly. I know in Iowa there's only one.
Drake,
and that's because of Title IX. So I know, you know, with all this NCAA stuff that they're talking about, that could change a lot of things in terms of soccer landscape, you know, going from 9.9 Division I scholarships to 28 is a huge task for a lot of these schools. You know, if you're not fully funded and you don't have NIL deals and you don't have cooperatives working for you, where's that money come from? So, well, there will be a lot of things changing in the college soccer landscape here real soon.
Well, I guess up to this point, if you're a D1 player in Iowa, you just don't have many options if you want to stay close to home, do you?
You really don't. And that's been the case from when I was growing up and trying to play collegiately to watching Ty try and do get as many opportunities as he possibly can. It's very hard for Iowa soccer players because, one, we're Iowa. We're not looked at as Chicago or Kansas City or St. Louis, one of those big soccer hubs, even though we can compete with them, but we're not as good on every level. So we don't get the notoriety quite yet.
All right, well, let's talk about Tate now. Of course, he left Ankeny in the fall of 2022 to join the Austin FC Academy under-15 squad, and he spent about a year and a half down there, if my math is correct. In the spring of 2023, he helped Austin to a victory over Philadelphia in the championship game of the Generation Adidas Cup in Bradenton, Florida. And you were down there to watch the last couple of games, I think. Now, at that time, you told me about Tate, that he was loving it. He enjoys the challenge and everything about it soccer-wise. And he's adjusting to the school and being without mom and dad. But things obviously changed over the next year because he did return to Ankeny last spring. And we'll get his perspective on things here in a little bit. But can you just kind of describe, you know, how things kind of went south for him down there?
Absolutely. Coaching changed. So the guy who recruited him, Coach Angel, left Austin FC. At that time, the GM, Tyson, also left Austin FC. Those were two. At the time, I didn't realize how big the pieces they were for the academy. Towards the beginning of 2024, I sent an email to the new GM and the new coach, just asking, what's your project? What's your projection for Tate? What's your plan to get him to the next level? They didn't have an answer. They looked at me like, what do you mean? And at that point, it was like, if he's spending all this time away from home, and you don't have a plan to get him to the next level, like, what is he doing? My wife, Wall, she was down at a tournament with Tate, had a meeting with the coach, and the coach took it very offensive, like we were attacking we weren't attacking them. We were just trying to hold them accountable to find out, you know, how are you going to push my kid to the next level? I'm not there to do it. She's not there to do it. Somebody has to have a project, you know, a plan for getting him to where he wants to go. They didn't have an agent. So that's why we brought him home. I don't think it was anything school related. I don't think it was anything soccer related other than they don't have a plan to get him to the next level. I can get him to college from here if that's what he wants. If he wants to achieve, you know, pro stature, I can't get him here there from Iowa. He would have to go the college route before he went to the pro route if that's what he wants to do.
Sure. Well, then Tate did enroll at Centennial in the spring and was able to join your squad at midseason. And I'm sure that had to be a thrill for you to have, you know, the opportunity to coach both of your boys on the same team since you probably hadn't, you know, planned on it happening, right?
It was absolutely magical. You know, that was the reason I left Ankeny and came to Centennial was I wanted to coach my children. And I obviously wanted to coach both of them multiple years. But it didn't work out that way. But having Tate back was fantastic. Having Tate back home right now is still fantastic. You know, especially since we dropped Ty off on Monday. So, the Centennial season didn't end the way it was. It should have, it could have, but it was fantastic to coach both my boys at the same time.
Well, Tate went on to score 2 goals. He led the team with 6 assists. He was named to the Class 4A All-State second team. And I know you told me a few times during the second half of the season that, you know, when your team played its best, you could compete with anybody, and you certainly showed that in a 3-2 win at Johnston. The defending state champ on April 23rd, but that turned out to be your team's last win as you guys, you know, really struggled down the stretch. You went scoreless in the last 4 games. You know, I'm sure you've had some time now to reflect on the season. You know, have you been able to figure out, you know, what caused, you know, those inconsistent performances at the end of the year?
Multiple factors, I would say. One, teams really started keying in on those two boys, on both my kids, who were having a pretty good year. Two, I think, beating the Austin out of Tate a little bit. You know, when he was playing for Austin, they had explicit instructions that they wanted him to follow. I didn't want him to follow those here. Here, I needed him to be more of a playmaker, more of a facilitator slash goal scorer, and getting that out of him was longer than I anticipated, but we just got back from Colorado 2 weeks ago where the boys got to play together again, and they won the National Cup, and he was his old self. It was pre-Austin Tate in Colorado. It was really fun to watch. And Ty was fantastic as well.
We'll ask about that here in a minute. But I know you told me previously, you know, that there was a lot of pressure on Tate coming in to maybe be like the savior of the team. I mean, there certainly was some pressure on him, wasn't there?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, everybody heard that he was coming back and they expected him to carry the load. Well, in soccer, you can't have one guy try and carry the load, especially a sophomore who hadn't been with the team for 2 years. I think if he's still around this spring, I think Tate will have a huge role for the Centennial and the Iowa High School Soccer Association's role this year.
Well, you mentioned the National Cup that they won a couple weeks ago. One more chance for those guys to play together. It might have been the last chance, but
it was fantastic. Like, my wife and family drove out on Wednesday, and I had some guys on vacation, so I couldn't take off work. So I flew out on Friday, and I was supposed to fly home on Sunday. And they made it to the final, which wasn't until Monday morning. So I called work and was like, "Hey, boys, you're gonna have to power through." And I stayed until Monday and watched the final. And they were class. They were really good. They avenged they lost to the same team 2-1 the year previous. Ty wasn't at that event because he was at an ID camp with Kentucky, and obviously Tate wasn't on the team. So it was a great win. It was a great weekend. It was a great way to cap off Ty's club soccer career, and to get them to watch them play together is fantastic.
We said that Tate looked more like his old self, you know, during that tournament. Do you think maybe just having some of that pressure off of him, just kind of play like his old self again?
Absolutely. The pressure from Austin's gone. The pressure from everybody thinking he needs to be the stud. You know, he was playing against 18 and 19-year-old kids, so he was playing against grown men. And the pressure wasn't on Tate or any one player to do it in that event. He was surrounded by a really good team, and he was just a piece of that huge team that decided to win it all.
Well, you guys have some decisions to make here in the next few weeks because Tate could once again start playing for an academy team. And I believe you're also getting some calls from colleges who are making offers to him. So can you kind of bring us up to date, you know, on where everything stands right now?
So right now, as it stands, Tate is still an Austin protected player, which means nobody can legally talk to me or Tate or my wife until his name comes off that list. The only team that has struck an agreement with Austin to talk to us is Colorado. So we went out to Colorado for a trial. Tate did really well. They offered Tate a spot. Tate's not quite in the mental space that he wants to go away from home yet again. And so as of right now, he's going to play with the VSA Rush for Coach Freddie, who I coached at Ankeny.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're trying to work out some part-time with some of these MLS clubs that maybe, you know, he's here for 2 or 3 weeks and then out there for a week or two, and we work it out where he can still keep his getting that attention from the MLS academies while still having a taste of home life and enjoying it here. But it's amazing to me that none of them are supposed to reach out because of tampering rules. The creativity that some of these clubs go to make sure that I'm aware that they are interested in Tate once his name goes off that list. Mm-hmm. So right now, we're more or less in a waiting game. But he doesn't have a bad path. There's no bad path for this child. On June 15th, when he was classified as a junior, I think 5 or 6 schools reached out to him. And we're talking some pretty big-time schools, you know, UCLA, Wisconsin, Northwestern, Nebraska, Omaha, Wake Forest, all reached out to him on June 15th and are staying in touch with him. So if he stays and plays with VSA Rush and plays for Centennial, would be fantastic. He'd probably have to go the college route after that. He's got really good options there as well. He's got academies that as soon as his name goes off that list, he will be hunted by them. And he's got Colorado, who's a fantastic MLS club, who's already offered him a spot. So Tate will have to do some soul searching and figure out what he wants to do, you know, with his future moving forward, but there's no bad option for him.
And when would his name come off that list?
So as soon as the next protected list comes out, his name should be off it. So I've been told by numerous different sources, once a quarter that list was produced. Well, apparently they don't do it like fiscal quarters. So now I've been told by a former scout in Austin, who's now gone Austin as well, that it's once in the fall, once in the spring. So whenever the fall one comes out, his name should be off the list. I don't think they have any legal way to keep his name on the list, but again, the MLS academies, for how fantastic they are, they're about money.
Gotcha.
And that's, you know, unfortunately in America, that's what holds us back from being really good, is you have to pay to play.
Well, I know you've told me previously that as much as you'd love to coach Tate again this season, that, you know, if he wants to reach those highest levels, that it might be best for him to go elsewhere. So I'm sure you have mixed feelings about that, but it sounds like from what you just said that these decisions are up to him, right?
I'm not driving his boat. This mm-hmm. is his future. He gets to drive it. I get to give him my opinions and my thoughts, and so does my wife, but we don't want to make this decision for him. If it was up to me, he'd be going to Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to force that on him because I know if he goes and his heart's not in it, he won't reach the goal anyways. So we are trying to take a little bit of a backseat, give him advice, give him help, but let him make the decision ultimately.
All right, well, we'll get his thoughts on it here in just a minute. Thanks a lot for coming in tonight, Coach. I appreciate it.
Thanks for everything again, man.
You bet. All right, well, my other guest today is the guy that we've been talking about a lot already. He is Brian's son, Tate Duex. Tate, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. Well, hey, how's your summer going so far?
It's pretty good. Just been training with my friends, teammates, and Fred, so it's been pretty well.
Well, your dad told me that you'd be working at the fair every day here, you know, over the next 10 days or so. So what are you going to be doing out there?
I'm working for Steer and Sign. Fred got me the job because he's, like, kind of knows the owners, and I'm a bar back, so I'm just grabbing beer and restocking it pretty much.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you might see us out there at some point. So we tend to go down there a couple times, but well, we talked to your dad about your soccer journey and, you know, where things stand right now. But, of course, I wanted to get your perspective on things as well. You went down to Austin FC and certainly gained a lot of valuable experience down there. Now, you typically played, like, the right and left wing position. Is that right?
Yeah. Mainly the right, because most of the other wingers like to play left. So I kind of just tried to, like, kind of master the right wing in a way so I could try and get a starting spot and, like, have less competition in a way.
Oh, okay. Well, you told me previously that it took you a little while, to realize that the competition down there was a lot better than what you were used to, but that you eventually figured it out. Was it just the speed of the game that, was so much different, or just the overall skill level of all the players?
Kind of both, and just in a way, like, everyone was just more competitive. Like, people, like, if you weren't, like, trying to practice, people would get on you. Like, that was how it was in the first year. The second year, I kind of went away, but the first year, it was, like, really just competitive. Everyone was yelling at each other. Like, if you weren't trying, everyone would get on you. So it was kind of just all three of those.
Well, like your dad and I talked about, things went well down there for you for a while. You guys won that Generation Adidas Cup for the first time in 2023. And you told me afterwards that it felt great to win it, especially when nobody thought you could do it. So do you think that was the biggest highlight of your time down there?
Yeah, for sure. Just because, YS Official is an Instagram account. They, posted the rankings, I guess. And I think we were, 18th out of, 25 teams.
Oh, wow.
And then we ended up getting a lot of upsets. Like, we beat Philly, obviously, in the final. We beat Genk, which is a Belgian team, which a lot of pros have come from. We beat, I think, the number two team to win it was Red Bulls. We beat them in a 2-0 victory. Just a lot of upsets. I don't think anyone really expected it from us, and everyone still calls it a fluke. But, yeah, I think it was definitely the biggest highlight of my time down there.
I'm sure you made a lot of great friends, during your time down there. Do you still communicate with a lot of those guys, on a regular basis?
I recently, a week or two ago, had one of my teammates come down just, for a week to just, because he came last spring, so I had him down again, and he was here from Thursday to Thursday, and we just had a lot of fun training with him. I showed him running,
Well, I don't want to dwell too much on the reasons for why you left Austin and came back to Ankeny, since your dad and I already discussed that a little bit. But I did want to give you a chance to talk about it, if you want to. Do you remember the first time, maybe, when you saw some warning signs that maybe things weren't going the direction that you wanted them to?
Yeah, it was mainly when, they changed the coaching staff, three or four times in the year and a half I was down there. And then this last year, we combined with 07, so I was playing up, and the coach just showed a lot of kind of favoritism towards the 07s in a way, because he wanted them to be able to get more spotlight, because they're the colleges are able to talk to them and all that. And in a way, I would try my hardest. I would play. I think I played pretty well most of the season, and then I would get praised, and but I would never get rewarded for it. I would maybe play 20 minutes a game, but not more than that. So.
All right. Well, then you came back to Centennial and got a chance to play alongside your brother and for your dad. I know you had to adjust to so many different things, a new team, playing a different position, playing a different style of soccer. What do you think was the biggest challenge for you?
Mainly how young our team was in a way, because not really having a lot of chemistry with the guys, because there's I think a few freshmen that I've never played with, a few sophomores and juniors too. I had never played with them at all. I knew of them, but I never played with them, so I think that was just connecting with them and just having that chemistry, that was probably the hardest.
Yeah, I know in the few games that I saw you guys play, you could see the talent all over the field from the different positions, but it just seemed like you guys had a hard time connecting a lot of the time. But.
Yeah, I think it was mainly a lot of, I feel like the guys, some of the guys wanted to be there, but didn't when it got hard, they kind of quit in a way. And that was also, I feel like, a big challenge for us.
Well, I'm sure some people expected you to come in and be successful right away. You probably felt that way too. But was the level of play in the CIML maybe better than what you thought it would be coming in?
Yeah, I think there was at least one or two pretty good players in each team. And then especially teams like Johnson, where they recruit a lot of players, they were a lot better than I was expecting, to be honest. I mean, we ended up winning a lot of the games that we probably shouldn't have, and then we ended up not winning the games we should have. So it was kind of flip flop there, but.
Well, it sounds like you've played very well this summer. Do you think maybe after the high school season ended, you're able to relax a little bit more and just play the way you're capable of?
Yeah, I think so. Especially when we went to Colorado, because we brought a lot of really good players. A player that was in Shattuck for a few years, he came down just to play during the summer. A player that was that had played with Drake this past season came. And it was just really fun to get to know all of them. And we kind of built a really strong bond, I feel over those 5 days. And by the final, we were all just playing really well together.
Well, you talked with your dad about where things stand right now. It sounds like he's really interested in that opportunity in Colorado. Did you like your visit out there?
Yeah, I thought everything was really professional. It was like, it felt like a family in a way. It was just a really cool experience too, because their facility was the main like stadium too. So like everything was just super cool. The area was really nice. Coaches were fantastic. It was just, I just didn't really feel ready in a way. Like I've been rethinking a lot of stuff, because like during that time, that was like a month and a half ago-ish, something like that. So like that was like, I was only home for, like the summer had just started kind of in a way. So I was like, I don't know if I'm like ready, but like, I've been home for like a lot longer now, so I'm kind of rethinking a lot of stuff right now. So.
Sounds like you've enjoyed your time being home.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Well, your dad talked about the schools that have reached out to contact you. You know, looking ahead to the future, do you have like a dream school that if you do go to college that you'd like to go to?
Not really. I mean, if me and my brother could somehow get to a top 10 maybe D1 school somewhere together, that would be probably the dream, somewhere something like that. But other than that, I'm kind of open to anything. I don't really have any personal preference.
If you do pick a college at some point, I'm sure academics would play into that factor, you know, as well. Yeah. Do you know what you want to study in college if you do go to college?
Not really. I mean, off the top of my head, probably just like business or something like that, but I have nothing specific yet. No.
Mm-hmm. Well, you certainly have some decisions to make here in the future. It'll be fun to follow your progress. Hey, thanks a lot for coming today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I thank my guests again for coming in today. We had Centennial Boys Soccer Coach Brian Duax and his son Tate. I appreciate the time from both of those guys. I know it's a busy week for them. They got some of the big decisions to make here in the next few weeks. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.